You suck, Chris.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
You suck, Chris.
Good day, welcome to the Meatball Composer, and happy Thanksgiving! Hope you all had a nice holiday, however you did it, if you were able to meet with a few family members, or just talked over Zoom or something like that, to be safe. I hope that you were able to make the best of whatever time and family and friends you were able to be with. Alright, so today, just a short show. We're going to talk to Mark about the Bears-Packers game coming up and the return of Mitch Trubisky. So, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? Probably not. But we're going to talk about it anyway. So, let's bring in Mark and get this going. Thanks again for listening.
Mark, how's it going, my friend?
Pretty good. How are you?
Recovering from... carbs, lots of carbs, so many carbs. I mean, so many carbs. Carbs everywhere.
Sweet, delicious carbs.
Yeah, we had a great spread. We had my wife, my mom, and my mother-in-law all working on the meal. So
double mother action
at the at the super spreader event we were hosting at the house.
Super spreader, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, man.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm glad it was good.
Yeah, and of course, had to watch football because it's Thanksgiving, and that's just part of
riveting matchups. Wait,
yeah. Although it was good to see the Lions lose. And, you know.
They're terrible.
Yes. Which is encouraging and refreshing somehow.
It's like nothing has changed, Chris. The Packers are on top of the division and their quarterback is better than everyone else's quarterback combined, and the Lions still suck and the Bears and Vikings are erratic messes. It's pretty much just the North as usual.
Yeah, that's pretty much, if you go back to what, like 1992 on, that's been the situation with the division. But that's going to change tomorrow, my friend, or Sunday, my friend. You know why?
No,
because Mitch is back.
Oh man,
Mitch is back.
You're already rolling onto Mitch, okay?
Mitch is back.
Ba-na-na-na.
Like you said, I mean the riveting football yesterday. Although I should say too that watching the Cowboys completely self-destruct is glorious too.
I just have two thoughts on yesterday's games. One,
hit me.
I know Deshaun Watson is a lot better than Mitch, and I was talking with my cousin about this. We all know that. But how come when Deshaun Watson carves up the Lions, it's, oh my God, he's so good. How do we get him out of the Texans in this terrible situation? When Mitch carves up the Lions, it's, well, it's just the Lions. I hate the double standard. I know he's not as good as Watson. He's not even close, but that didn't mean anything. The Lions are bad. It didn't mean anything. Just because it happened to be on national stage, it suddenly means more. It's just dumb. It bothers me that everybody freaks out about it.
And speaking of dumb and the Lions, that coach, man. Woo.
How many coaches on display yesterday will be coaching the team they're coaching next year?
That we saw yesterday?
Sorry. It turns out I have three thoughts on the games yesterday.
Okay. So of the coaches we saw yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Beardo is going to be back in Detroit.
The Matt Beardo. Totally gone. I wouldn't be surprised if he was fired Monday.
I don't think McCarthy's fired yet. Do you?
No, but you sure could make a case for it.
I mean, it would be the right thing because if you've paid attention to the NFL
tough to
the last
predict
decade.
There. Yeah, man, Dallas could, you know, old Jerry could get mad enough to do it. I'll say no, but I'm very much on the fence there. Obviously, Romeo Crennel won't be coaching the Texans. Mm-hmm. Here's the point. Only one who you know is going to be coaching that team next year is Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. The rest of them are either definitely gone, Patricia, or possibly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of funny to me. All right, the second thought is Well, we kind of touched on it just a second ago, but how bad is Mike McCarthy, and how sad is it for us that he's not the Packers coach
anymore? I know.
A guy named The Flower is infinitely better coach for the Packers, and that's bad for us.
Le Fleur.
Oh, he's so pretty and nice, Le Fleur.
I want the Bears coach, to win, sadly. Just so I can get that clip from Dodgeball of cram it up your cram hole, Le Fleur.
You're going to be waiting a while.
I know. But if they do win, it's going to be on the next episode, my friend, if the Bears can somehow.
All right. There's a tease.
Yes.
The stakes are so high for the Bears now. They weren't before. Now this stuff matters.
That's right.
Okay.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Exactly. I guess that brings us to Mitch and the Bears.
Mitch is back. Mitch.
Oh, you know, like we all said, we never wanted to switch out. Never wanted. Oh, wait. I don't even know where to begin, Chris. Can we start with just how bad Foles has been?
Yeah.
A total no-brainer decision, despite Mitch not being good.
Is this
got to keep that in mind. He's not good.
Right. Like my one of my Facebook buddies that I met in a Bears group, he said the Bears have gone from worse to bad. Now with putting Mitch back in. I thought that was good.
I think pretty accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I forgot one other thought. Have you checked the Lions Twitter after yesterday's debacle?
No, I didn't, because you know family's here and okay. You know,
we're gonna save that for the next Lions game.
Yeah, I'll okay. I'll
but take I bet a it's peek pretty funny then. Right now. I bet they're raging out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so Mitch is back. Mitch is the right guy for this offense, which tells you how bad the offense is. Nick Foles did not look like he was better at a single thing than Mitch.
Nothing.
For the end of the Atlanta game. I guess he played okay versus Tampa, and then it was just a disaster.
Yeah. Even if
it's a disaster, at least there's the scrambling. I mean, that's got to be why they're doing it, right? It's just
that's the only reason. That has to be the only reason. Well, maybe not the only reason.
What was the most disappointing thing about Foles for you?
I'm
talking about him like he's dead. So just go ahead and run with that.
I'm not sure if accuracy or decision making was most. I think decision making was most surprising, but accuracy was most disappointing. Because that's what they pumped up.
I agree 100%. I mean, that play is a tough play where they're pressuring him on like the 5 in the Rams game, and Mooney absolutely depances the corner, and he's wide mm-hmm. open for like 95 yards, and he overthrows him. That's a tough play, backpedaling with pressure in your face, but that's the NFL, man. Like the good QBs hit that throw.
And backpedaling in
so
general.
So many where he just airballed the guy. That rollout play to Allen Robinson at the start of one of the games, I was like, how did he miss that throw that badly? It was the first sign of trouble in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the uh-oh. Yeah. Like,
wow, he's really erratic, and he never gave us much very good. You know.
And you mentioned the backpedaling. He never stepped up in the pocket. And
oh, yeah. Well, the Bears O-line did their PTSD job on him like they did.
Yeah. I mean, but he's clearly been able to do that before. We saw him do it in Philly, but yeah, he just looked like a scared rookie.
He did.
Which that I did not expect. We were promised that would not happen. That, you know, at least we'd have a good solid floor.
And for the guy they picked, and again, I'll admit, he was the guy that was available that I thought made the most sense other than Brady,
yeah,
of course.
It did.
And I didn't like that we had to trade a fourth rounder. I thought they would just like cut him at some point or get like a sixth for him. But anyway, for a guy that they chose, he had terrible chemistry issues with the coach. No matter how much they try to minimize it in the media sessions afterwards, they did not see eye to eye. Foles blasted him to Greasy, who broke a protocol by sharing it. Nagy made fun of the wristband thing. Like, they obviously – that was hilarious, by the way. Mm-hmm. They obviously were not on the same page. And I think as much as anything, that's the other reason to go back to Mitch if I'm Matt Nagy, because – I mean, it just doesn't work in with Foles, even like schematically. Of course, I don't think the scheme works with the players the Bears have, period. And I guess that gets us to what will things look like with Mitch?
Well, so why did it take Deggy so long to say Mitch is starting? I mean, that didn't happen until today being Friday.
Well, the Packers and LeFleur will be confused now.
Oh, yeah.
They've only got a day to prepare for Trubisky. Oh, no. I don't know. It's the NFL. It's what they do. Here's a question about Nagy that they asked on Hogan John that I thought it was hilarious. People were looking at me funny at the gym when I was laughing about this. Why does it take the Bears 3 weeks to evaluate everything? It's like week one. He's like, well, you know, we're going to take a look. And then week two is like, yeah, no, we're looking at everything. And then week three is like, yeah, we're looking really hard at that. And they finally make a decision. I was like, dang, that's true. Like, it feels like every time Nagy has to change something, it takes him almost a month to do it. Laser being probably the best example of changing the play caller.
Maybe they're just thorough.
Nothing in their recent
history. Sorry. I couldn't keep a straight face. I'm sorry.
No. So, yeah. What's the offense going to look like with Mitch?
Well, there'll be more improv. Right.
At least some Mitch more plays improv has the potential to surprise you in a happy way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be some disasters too.
There'll be more rushing yards because Mitch is going to scramble.
Well, that's the gist of the question though. Are they going to go back to that run heavy look that was working the first couple weeks now that Mitch is back under center? And if they do, did they vastly overrate Foles' mental capabilities to run Nagy's basement sure seems wallpaper like office or something? Because, I mean, why did they go away from that in the first place?
Because it's not his offense. He wanted to run his offense.
To run the eye for him. No, you're brought in here to win games, and you have exactly. Some other notions about what they brought you in here for. You're also brought in here to develop a QB, which you didn't. I think his failure with Mitch is a fireable offense when you consider that they're about to draft another QB.
Yeah,
but I digress. So
unless Mitch just completely amazes these last 6 weeks, which I put the possibility of that at what, like 8%?
I don't know. What's worst case scenario? Mitch amazes, then he earns a new deal, then he's terrible for the rest of the 5 years that they signed him for. That would be very Bears.
Well, if he's amazing, you can tag him and then, you know, then go from there.
Allen Robinson.
Unless you re-sign him, which I don't know. Maybe these next six games will show us something we were not expecting to see vis-a-vis Mitch and Robinson. You like how I said vis-a-vis? A little more French. Le Fleur vis-a-vis.
This is such a multicultural podcast today.
Oui, oui.
Oh, wow. So with Mitch coming back, your odds are terrible of your little miraculous scenario, right?
8%.
Except for how many good defenses do they play?
Not Green Bay twice. Not Detroit, not Minnesota again, not the Texans.
And not the Jags.
And not the, so no good defenses. Yeah.
I realize the odds are still terrible, but there could actually be a decent run of football just because they're playing all trash defense. And then I think that, and I immediately think, and how did they look against the trash Vikings last game?
Super trashy.
Like trash themselves. So it's still just... Being a Bears fan is torture when we have the ball. Can we just stop it? That being the case, I just, more than anything, I just want the coach, GM, QB to all be like good in the same window of time. Can we get that?
It doesn't seem like it. Maybe this is all still penance for 85. You know, like you can win in 85 and you can be the most dominant, greatest team ever in 85, but you're going to be bad for the next 50.
Boy, years. The Patriots are going to be punished for a millennium by that argument.
Yeah, but how many of those Patriot teams were really like, oh my gosh, that was such a great team? Their the best team.
The Giants beat.
Yeah, their best team lost. Exactly.
So, okay, so Mitch's comments where he was like talking, he's very strongly emphasizing that it was doing stuff he wants to do is what he communicated to the coaches. And again, I was talking to some Bears friends and my cousin about this. Does this matter? Is Mitch taking more ownership because of the crap he just witnessed for a couple, 6 weeks? And so now he's like, yep, yeah, you know what? That didn't work for him either. It's not you. It's not me. It's you.
Yeah.
So do you think?
I think he's definitely walking in with a little, well, what do you think of me now? kind of attitude. Like it wasn't me that could just, pulling me out could fix everything and make the offense click and everything. It's actually worse.
The most interesting thing about this is he can't be the scapegoat fall guy now.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of them. If I'm Mitch, and I know he probably won't do this because I think he has more class than I do, I'd say, sure, I'll play. I mean, my shoulder's kind of messed up, but I'll play on one condition. I want more of the stuff that I want to do to be called. I want more flexibility at the line of scrimmage for me to call audibles. I want you to not run the stupid offense that just does not work. Run something that works for me.
I would think he'd be a lot more relaxed. He's well within
his rights to say, sure. Yeah, we can't do what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, I would think he'd have more confidence and a little more freedom to say, okay, now that we know blah, 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 let's do more rollouts. Let's do more bootlegs. Let's do more play action even maybe, you know.
Who I would knows? Say so. One thing gives me pause there. Matt Nagy's passing game, the route trees are sort of frustrating sometimes, and other times guys are wide open and the QB misses them. So, like, the whole thing doesn't need scrapped, but some of it does. I can't remember who pointed it out. Nate Tice, maybe? He played at Wisconsin and for Seattle or something briefly in the NFL. He was on Hogan Johns. I'm pretty sure it was him. And he's talking about the problem with the Bears' blocking scheme is the problem with the running game, as we all know. And it's because they're trying to have an RPO-friendly system where you can't get too far downfield or you get the penalty. And so they don't block downfield, because they're trying to always make everything look like an RPO. And I thought, okay, that makes sense as a diagnosis. I'm like, that is it. Wow, okay, great. And then I thought,
fascinating.
Well, that's just extra stupid. Chris, when's the last time the Bears ran a great RPO?
2018?
So why is it still the thing we're trying to do? That's actually, I think, the right answer. There's no point disguising RPOs if you can't do any of them. Go back to just letting the guys block and maul downfield and play action based, run attack based offense. Be the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't work without the Chiefs players. I don't know how else to put it. Square peg, round hole. But and when he said that, I thought, oh my gosh, that makes sense. That's why they're getting pushes. They're taught not to. Because the penalty.
That is interesting. Wow. And it would explain why the first couple of weeks the run game was better, because they were just allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, run block. And
he said if you watch the last several push games, the all they're ever doing is blocking like laterally or just holding position, and then there's nowhere for a running back. And I'm like, wow, because of the RPO, which we don't do anyway. Isn't the RPO practically dead league wide now anyway? Yeah. I mean, do the Chiefs run it much? I don't see them running
it
much.
See it.
Like, we don't need this. We have Mahomes.
Nope. So I don't see that, and I don't see the Ravens doing much of that. Just
what works.
Yeah.
I'm an old man now. Like, classic football will never die, but you have
that's to right.
pass the ball too.
That's right.
Running and play action and taking shots deep, Bruce Arians kind of stuff works great too. Mm-hmm. When your QB is an 0-for-19 on his last throws over 20 yards, hysterical, by the way. Oh, see that
gosh, start? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not that we can brag, because we're what, like 2-for-15 on the year. We're trying those or something. Anyway, I just thought that was super interesting as a diagnosis of at least part of the problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because the line has been so, so bad and incompetent looking. That would explain a lot if there's a systemic reason, I guess. That would explain a lot.
It does. That's, I mean, part of that is injuries, of course, too. Daniels being their best lineman being hurt doesn't help. But the sheer lack of anything this like month of losing and then some is more than just backups are playing. The scheme is broken. Mm-hmm. And as he was the first person I'd heard articulate it, that's what's broken. And
that
then
makes perfect sense.
And it got me thinking about route trees and things. I'm like, he's right though. There are receivers are sometimes wide open.
Wide open.
So why can't we run those routes with a more traditional blocking scheme? And why can't we run some of those same route trees under center after a single back play fake in 11 personnel or 12 personnel even? Like, we're told we're going to do all this extra stuff with tight ends. They don't do any of it. And there's one last thing that's just driving me nuts that's been a talking point the last week that I totally agree with people who are annoyed by it. The Allen Robinson red zone targets.
Oh. What Allen Robinson red zone targets?
That's correct. So, you know, the whole Green Bay, the difference between Green Bay and the Bears is QB play. Of course, that's obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
As another smaller example, it's also stuff like Devontae Adams has 7 touchdowns in the red zone.
Okay.
Allen Robinson has 7 targets in the red zone.
Oh.
That hurts my soul. It's not like he's a little burner wide receiver that you would need in space. Like, he's a possession receiver. He are right to be ticked off about this. It makes no sense to not throw him the ball at least once every time you're down there.
Well, he's going to get the ball more often with Mitch playing again, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
For some reason, Foles didn't like Robinson as much.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the interception weirdness there, a little weird run. He's a great receiver. Give him the ball. Of course, they don't have very many red zone opportunities, so I suppose that has to be
factored. Yeah, I was going to say.
You know. But when you have one weapon on offense, go ahead and use him, even if it's a wee bit predictable. And Jimmy Graham jump ball, where did those go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it when he comes in on the goal line and then they try to do like a stretch run to Jimmy Graham's side.
Oh,
it's almost like the coaches don't recognize that players are different individuals
that
need to be accentuated. Mm-hmm. And all I want is a GM who can draft a QB, a coach who can develop one, and then also put the players in the right position to succeed on offense. And it just seems like we never get that far as an organization.
That's what makes Belichick the best coach of our lifetime. Yeah. Is that he's always done that with players. If this player can do this, okay, let's have him do that.
And then they do that really well, so we'll take it away and then we'll beat them.
Correct.
We'll change it every week to fit my player's strengths and their player's weaknesses and vice versa. Like whereas Nagy's so married to his system I think that's one of the absolute worst traits a coach can have.
Mm-hmm.
A system that's not working for his players. And that's again one other reason why I would be all totally fine with them getting rid of him. As much as I wanted him to be the guy they hired, I guess I didn't know that much about him.
Yeah, well, and he's proven not to be teachable. That I think that's the biggest problem. The biggest issue.
So slow to adapt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, we've praised his leadership time and time again on our little podcast here.
Oh, yeah.
But
Club Dub, man.
It doesn't mean a thing.
If you ain't got that swing.
Any of the X's and O's.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah, it was right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've talked about that many times, but it's still cathartic to do so.
You just try to find some funny stuff to say and bring up, but sometimes you just gotta piss and moan.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think there's any chance the Bears win this game with no Hicks looking likely and Mitch?
I didn't know no Hicks.
Well, he was on the injury report as I did not practice both days so far.
Yeah, that's a problem with their running.
And he left early in the last game, so I feel like he's probably out.
The only way that I think they have a chance, like a legit chance, is if Rodgers gets knocked out.
He did not practice today either.
He is Rodgers?
Questionable Hicks.
Oh, Hicks. Oh.
Here it is. Nick Foles, doubtful.
Doubtful.
Hicks, questionable. McManus, questionable. Coward, questionable. Come on, please be hurt. Leonard, questionable. Buster Screen, questionable.
You know, Buster Screen, I really want to like him, but it seems like he's always given up the big play.
Or holding. But then he plays well for a while, too.
I know. It's weird.
He's a hard guy to figure out.
And it seems like
a bunch of people questionable, but nobody doubtful.
It seems like Screen covers guys well. The receiver just always makes an amazing catch when he's the defender.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
He's short. Maybe that's how. I don't really
know.
Do we have thoughts on the defense? I guess we could talk defense for a second. I'm still kind of disappointed in the pass rush plan. I actually kind of liked the whole bring in a pass rush Robert Quinn idea to make it harder to double team Mac and Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't getting anything from him besides advanced stats that aren't giving us any impact. I'm so confused. What is wrong with Robert Quinn? He's not that old yet.
One sec. The first sec. His first play, yeah.
Mac only has 6.5.
Yeah.
And with 6 games to go, that's he'll get to 10 or if we're lucky. That's just not enough for what he's paid.
Yeah.
He needs to be at like 15. And I'm not blaming him. He's held all the time. He's still the Bears' best player. But it's like, even the defense, as good as it's playing, I would say you can make it case that it's not actually giving the Bears what they've invested in when you consider pressure and turnovers being how this team was going to win. Mm-hmm. They're not the problem, but they're also not giving you what the investment is.
They're not winning because of it, which is
and that's what the happened problem in 2018. Which is the problem with building a roster so stupid and lopsidedly. Hmm. Right? If the defense isn't amazing, you're toast.
But it's so fun to watch an amazing defense. That's the problem. Yeah. That gets us Bears fans stoked more than anything else.
Signing. People who are mad about it and wanted linemen. There was no lineman available that was that good. Mm-hmm. There were a couple decent guards that would have been upgrades, but they would have cost you even more than Quinn because they were younger. Like, I don't fault that per se. I mean, if you want to blame Ryan Pace for stuff, just look at his draft record early.
Well, especially when you think you've got the offensive guru that can make it work, can make something work with an offense. You know?
Although the line was clearly a problem that needed more attention in the offseason than it got. I would have said maybe the draft could have been somewhere in there.
I understand that, but still, you can't, like we've been saying several times already today, you can't run what the Chiefs can run when you don't have the players to do it. You've got to look at what you've got. And I mean, these are NFL players. You can have them push forward, and you know what I mean? I mean, every lineman should be able to run block.
If you take away Tyreek Hill and especially Kelsey and Schwartz and one other lineman, just pick one. Right, Mahomes is still going to be good. He's not going to have 400 yards and four touchdowns in the second quarter. Good, right? Like, they're going to suffer, and that's what the Bears are trying to do. They're trying to run the Chiefs' offense with other than Allen Robinson with the Chiefs' backups.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, like, so maybe that sounds like I'm giving Nagy a pass. I'm not because he's he's supposed to recognize this, not me, him. So. I don't know. Mitch to the rescue sounds like one of the worst plans I've ever heard. Packers.
It'll be more fun if nothing else.
You know what I want? I want revenge for Brett Hundley beating us.
Oh my gosh, that was awful.
The fumble.
That was challenge, awful.
The dumbest thing I've ever seen a coach do.
The John Fox. Yeah.
Challenging it into a turnover for his team to lose the ball. Incredible.
You've beaten the Packers three times in the last decade, and that wasn't one of them. That's sad.
And one was the year you were amazing, and they basically gave up on the season at that point and fired the coach. So you clinched the division in that game and lost Eddie Jackson, which hurt you in the playoffs. So the most recent win hurt the Bears, sort of.
That's a fascinating point. You're right. Well, all right, so Sunday, you want to do some predictions here?
Predictions sure to go wrong.
All right, you go first because you're the guest.
Well, Mitch Trubisky, my friend, he's going to lead the Bears to a glorious 16 points just to be three better than Foles, because that's about the bar here. But it's not going to matter because they're still going to basically totally suck on offense, and they're going to lose 24-16.
All right. So,
wait, is Hicks playing? No. 30-16, because I got Hicks out and the Packers running all over him.
30-16. Okay. All right. Sorry, I don't think it'll be that.
No optimism.
I don't think it'll be.
A few years ago, it was 42-0 at the half. Okay. This is what happens. We get pantsed by Green Bay. I would love to be wrong.
I know.
30-16, Green Bay.
I'm going to say it's a little closer. It's going to be 27-17 Packers over the Bears.
I like that. I like the score a little better that you gave. Probably a little more reasonable, but I'm just remembering everything we've seen the last few weeks and remembering where Mitch is just in general. Last time we saw him, pretty.
Well, I just hope I hope he comes out with a swagger. Like, you know what? Screw you, screw you, screw you. I'm just going to play, and then there's nothing you can do about it.
Hello, this is my audition.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Sucks at coaching, and these guys suck at blocking, so consider that as you watch me play.
And last week, Anthony Heron did say we'll see the best Mitch yet, so maybe.
Why did he say that?
For these reasons, that he was bent, that pressure of being benched is gone, and everything you would learn from having to sit and watch, and
that could be true. He never pressure. Got much of a chance because of Mike Glennon. Oh my gosh, the triangle of garbage! That whole thing is hilarious with Glennon.
That's amazing,
Jacksonville. But anyway, that could be true. I also do wonder about the psychological factor too, to where
huge
he's, now. I wasn't the problem. this whole mm-hmm. time. What if Mitch believed everyone?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm screwing it up for everybody. I made the bet. You know, now he's like, well, you know what? I wasn't the problem. I'm just going to go out there and
exactly.
play ball.
Yeah,
I hope he kills it. That'll be just a fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree he's a wonderful guy, and we wish he was as good as his personality and all.
Mm-hmm. It'd
be hilarious if he had a good run because he's not really playing any good defenses. But you know what the Bears are good at? Making a bad defense look good.
Yes, that they are. That they have proven.
So till they prove otherwise, how could we possibly pick them against a team
with
a real QB at least?
Yeah, I'm not going to pick them until they win again. That's for sure.
I might against the Lions. Can you pick them against the Packers with a straight face? No. Can you pick them against the Vikings after what we just saw?
I feel better with Mitch over Foles. Because that was the worst we'd seen Foles. The worst.
And Mitch owned the Vikings, and Nagy's mm-hmm. owned it until the last game. Maybe. Jaguars, sure. Texans?
Bears have never beaten the Texans still. Isn't that amazing?
Let's end it and lose 5 slots in the draft positioning.
But if Mitch plays, and here I go. But I'm going to say it anyway. If he plays well, then doesn't that solve a problem?
Are you signing him?
I don't know.
He isn't going to beat anybody. This is so perfectly Bears. Hey, our first round pick, it lines up well for him to play well because all the defenses suck. Yeah, but that would be bad because then they'd be tempted to keep him. But he was the number 2 pick in the draft. You're supposed to keep him.
You can tag him, though. That's what I mean. Don't sign him. Tag him.
But that's going to cost you a ton, and then you're going to lose Robinson for sure.
Maybe. You think for sure?
You can't tag Mitch and pay Robinson. I'm pretty sure they don't have the cap space for that.
It'd be interesting to see.
Continued on a later episode of the Meatball Podcast after we crunch the cap numbers.
Duh, 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 duh. Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for jumping on as always. And hey, maybe we'll do an emergency Sunday post game because the Bears will come out on top somehow.
That would definitely require it.
Yes, it would.
All right. See you, man.
I'd be squealing like my daughter watching Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah.
Oh, all right. No.
Thanks a lot. See you
later.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Mark and I as we talk about the Bears facing Green Bay with Mitch. With Mitch this time. Probably not going to change anything, though. But any given Sunday, right? Well, that's what they say. But having trouble believing, so. But anyway, thanks again for listening to the show. If you want to find me on Twitter and connect, it is @Meatball34, @MeatballComp34. Excuse me. Still mentally not quite here because of all the carbs. Oh, I love carbs. So yeah, @MeatballComp34 on Twitter, or send me an email at themeatballcomposer@mail.com. Hope you have a great rest of your week and weekend, and we'll talk to you next time on the Meatball Composer.
You've been meatballed.